Despite new money from a state shared revenue deal, Eau Claire is considering a wheel tax to accelerate road repairs. It's Friday, July 14th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Danielle Kading has a story about a plan to guide restoration and protection of the Great Lakes. And we've got the latest on a new over-the-counter birth control pill. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Eau Claire is considering a wheel tax to raise money for road repairs a month after state lawmakers boosted shared revenue to local governments. Rich Kramer has more.
The city council first considered a wheel tax in February, but members voted it down as the legislature hammered out a deal to send more shared revenue aid to local governments. Eau Claire will get around $1.2 million in new state aid, but City Council Vice President Emily Anderson says that will only cover inflationary costs for existing services. Now she says the council will consider raising vehicle registration fees by $24 to keep up with road repairs.
Instead, we're having to turn around and hope that our residents can pay more so that we can get $1 million. Just to get our roads to the level that people expect.
36 municipalities and 13 counties have enacted wheel taxes in recent years. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
For the first time, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has greenlit the sale of over-the-counter oral contraceptives. Opill is expected to be available without a prescription in early 2024. Tanya Adkinson is the CEO of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. She hailed the FDA's decision.
I think just having all those different points of access that are very local to them and very community-centered to them is going to be, transformational in people, having access to this birth control.
Adkinson and other advocates say affordability will be important moving forward. Wisconsin Assembly lawmakers this year passed a bill that would allow pharmacists to prescribe birth control. The anti-abortion group Pro-Life Wisconsin called the FDA's decision horrendous. A spokesperson says they oppose all forms of artificial contraception. Federal environmental regulators are seeking input on their latest plan to guide restoration and protection of the Great Lakes under an Obama-era cleanup program. Danielle Kading reports that will guide work under the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative.
Created in 2010, the program has leveraged more than $3.6 billion for thousands of projects in the Great Lakes region. Much of that has been spent on cleaning up polluted hotspots. Cherie Hagen is with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. She says funding has been critical for removing contaminated sediments in the St. Louis River that separates Duluth and Superior.
It's exciting that we're still here. It's bipartisan, supported. It's like we're seeing ecosystem shifts in our career.
She and other partners would like the plan to outline what work in the river looks like once it's delisted as a polluted hotspot. Federal regulators are also seeking input on how they can incorporate environmental justice and the effects of climate change in work moving forward. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A tech school in northeast Wisconsin is expanding a partnership with a local boat builder to address the company's need for skilled trade workers. Northeast Wisconsin Technical College partnered with Fincantieri Bay Shipping out of Sturgeon Bay last year. They created a welding and pipe fitting training program for the shipbuilder's employees. Eric Dent is with the shipbuilder.
We've got critical needs. We need more skilled trades people. And it's great that we have a community-based solution through this agreement.
Last year, 97 people completed the course, and another 160 are expected to this year. The success of the partnership's first year caused both organizations to extend the course. The company and college are also in the early stages of developing additional training programs. Coming up, we've got a story about outdoor art attractions in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with the answer to an audience question about art, perfect for road trip season.
We recently received a Wisconsin question from listener Chris Murphy from Madison.
My question is, why are there a higher concentration of outsider artist environments in Wisconsin than anywhere else in the U.S.?
Great question. WPR's Tim Peterson asked a few experts to answer Chris's question.
Nick Engelbert's Grandview in Hollandale, Wisconsin. The Paul and Matilda Wegner Grotto in Monroe County. These are some of Wisconsin's artist-built environments. Ornate, meticulously assembled artworks on a massive scale using concrete, glass, auto parts, you name it. Here's Courtney Anderson Kramer, PhD candidate in the UW-Madison Department of Art History, who researches concrete sculpture gardens in the Midwest, like the Wisconsin Concrete Park in Phillips.
In general, a outsider art environment is going to be a space that is an artwork that is monumental in terms of its size and the amount of time that took to make, but also it can be monumental in the number of parts. So we're talking about the Wisconsin Concrete Park. Well, there are hundreds of sculptures on this site that the artist Fred Smith created over the course of decades.
Anderson Kramer says another example that was really influential on other artists in the region is the Dickeyville Grotto.
It is a monument to patriotism as well as Catholicism, and it is a sort of architectural grotto shrine that is encrusted with everything from geodes and rocks to Ford gear shift knobs, and the texture of the space is just stunning. It's like walking into a gem. It's beautiful.
Laura Bickford is an associate curator at the John Michael Kohler Art Center. She says this genre, like any art, is a cultural contribution and worthy of preservation.
These sort of art environments, I like to think of them as a genre-busting genre, where they're really made by people across walks of life who ordinarily maybe wouldn't feel that they were able to make works of art or wouldn't have access to a museum. And so they can really speak to a true way of the way that people are living on the land that they're living on.
And in the upper Midwest, in Wisconsin, in the early 20th century, people wanted to share their truth in the medium of concrete. And here's Anderson Kramer again.
At this time, you know, the 20s, 30s, even into the 40s, people are going, they're getting a bag of cement, and they're creating a garden border. They're creating a bird bath. They're creating bird houses out of concrete. So it's very much a part of gardening itself, using the concrete in the garden to make your garden beautiful. It just so happens that these artists really were bitten with the concrete bug and just continued to grow in their confidence, creating sculptural spaces, architectural spaces, adding concrete to their homes.
But is Wisconsin a leader in this type of art? Anderson Kramer says there's not really a concrete answer.
There's some truth and some not so truth to that. You can find these sorts of artworks anywhere in the world, but there are organizations in the Midwest, especially in the state of Wisconsin, like the Kohler Foundation, that has done a great job of taking care of these sites. But then there is some truth to it that there are a lot here, and that's owing to tourism at the time. You think of around the 30s and 40s when these are being made, we're seeing lots of tourism to the Dells, to Door County, and homeowners are kind of capitalizing on this traffic, creating artworks that are driving people to their homes.
Laura Bickford says downloading the map called Wandering Wisconsin is great for navigating to these sites. Though, she admits, the best way to find them is to never take the highway.
WPR's Tim Peterson brought us that piece on outsider art in Wisconsin, and a longer segment aired on WPR's Central Time. And that story idea? Well, it came to us from an audience question as part of our Wisconsin project. Submit your question and we might answer it in a future Wisconsin Life segment. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lola Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are Mallory Chang and John Davis. You can catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. And of course, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and review. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Yeah.